You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
TV, the weighing has been done. It all draws attention to Bank Holiday Sunday. Wardley versus Clark. That was a lively weigh-in today, Ben.
It was. I mean, the turnout was pretty special. There's not many nights that cross over like this, and this is definitely one. Even seeing Babich and Robinson square up, 6'1", I think, and 6'7", just to start the night. And then, as you said, it was lively. Marku was always lively. Huge amount of Albanians there. Fraser looks in great shape, which is obviously the most important thing. Ben Whitaker looks in great shape. Vidal Riley in a huge fight. If you've seen, I've worked with Mikel a while, a long time, but I've never seen him as, he's a wounding animal, and he's a ferocious puncher when he gets it right. And I'm thinking, Jesus, like, Vidal's going to have to be at his very best. That's a really tough fight, and it's one that I never pushed him into. It's just one, he wants to prove himself. He wants to get his name into the top boys, and yeah, it's a huge fight. But what a night. I mean, one of the best nights I've been involved in, but definitely outside of pay-per-view, the best. I mean, the interest is phenomenal. It's the biggest British title fight I can remember, and yeah, huge night.
You think that this is, for a non-pay-per-view show, the best domestic card that certainly you've put together, but also on Sky for a long time as well?
Yeah, for a long time. I think I have to thank Sky, because it takes a hell of a lot. We'd love to put on cards like this every month, but, you know, budget doesn't allow it. You know, it's not normal to be able to do this. So obviously delighted to be able to do it. Wish we could do it every month. Have to enjoy it while it's here, but it is there. Outside of pay-per-view, for me, the best British card of the year. I really believe it. I think it's the one where every fight has something. The superstars throughout the card. It's going to cross over the interest, the narrative. Not many fights that you get non-boxing fans really into and really interested in. The trading, you speak to the gambling partners, gone through the roof. 15,000 tickets now we're up to for this. It's mental. And so, yeah, outside of pay-per-view, every single fight on the card is incredible. But as I say, you can't do it every month, so you just have to enjoy it when you can.
Last year, you and also Fraser took a lot of stick about the purse bid situation. Months on from that, that must be quite a bit of a relief that you kind of knew there was always a plan, because it obviously he was getting accused of snipping Wardley and not taking that fight, and Fraser was getting it as well. But 12 months on, or whenever that time period on, to get that fight, that was always your plan, wasn't it, to make sure that this fight was going to happen at some point?
Yeah, I have to look back, and I felt it was the right decision at the time, but now I'm looking back thinking, fucking hell, Shalom, it was the right decision. You know, it's hard, because the reason we've got to this position is by knowing our business, by working hard, by doing the best by our fighters, by making strong decisions when other people weren't. And yeah, it was an interesting time, because I was left in a situation where I knew it was the right decision. I knew the fight would happen. Did I even imagine it would get as big as this? No, but I knew it would get bigger and bigger. And I'm thankful, and I think both fighters are thankful, because they're earning way more than they could have ever imagined for this fight. The fight is enormous. It's got the history. Fraser's now experienced, at least, I mean, people talk about what's 10 rounds going to make a difference. Maybe it doesn't make a difference in a boxing sense, but it does in terms of where you're at with your fitness. How is your preparation? What's your camp like? You know, what does it feel to do this? You know, when you've not experienced these things before, you don't want to... It feels irresponsible to just go. It doesn't matter how good you are. He'll have felt he could have fought him on his debut, but you don't just jump from a 6 rounds into 12 rounds. You just don't. And so obviously, took a lot of stick, still take a lot of stick. But ultimately, I can look myself in the mirror and I did my best for Fraser Clark, and I know I did, and I know I made the right decision. I'm delighted, obviously, now that I've delivered and he's got an amazing night. A really massive platform, and I always think back to AJ Dillian White, one of my favourite nights as a boxing fan, and to see them both go on to do what they achieve, win or lose. It might be similar. Sorry, I'm just tying my shoelace. It might be similar. And so, delighted that it's here. And for Fraser and his family and his team and his wife and his everything, this is what they've dreamt of doing. And he was a security, I think, that night. And now he's back at the O2, in the right fight at the right time, still set to become the fastest ever British heavyweight champion. So the same people that were saying, oh, he's ducked him, why has he pulled out, are now saying, it's far too soon for Fraser Clark. I mean, you can't really win. We're moving him at a serious pace. You know, sometimes people will argue black is white and white is black in boxing, just dependent on where they sit. And sometimes you've got to have a thick skin. And delighted to be here in a huge card. And what's the best thing for me about this card is, you know, people talk about cards and putting on the best cards. But you fighters have to develop. And so a lot of them have had to, unfortunately, because we came in with no stable, a lot of them had to develop on a big platform with a lot of scrutiny whilst they're learning on the job. And now they're at a stage where, the first fights I did, I was always borrowing fighters. If you remember, we had Eubank Jr. on and Josh Taylor and Amir Khan, and those were the big nights. So to have an O2 night like this, where you've got Fraser, Ben, Florian, Callum, Vidal, all fighters that have been with us a long time in real fights and attracting real attention and being able to sell an arena like this, it's a huge milestone. So yeah, really, really exciting.
Just to give people an idea about tomorrow's timings, obviously it's Bank Holiday Sunday, so the card kind of starts a bit earlier, but then the main event, I understand, will be around 9:30. Yeah.
Sky want to go early. We're happy with that. There's obviously a lot of complaints around late main events with us and everyone, so it will start early. I think first fight at 5:00 and then main event at 9:30. But it'll be electric in there. Obviously, I think the football finishes at 6:30, and they're expecting like a 4 million audience coming into this night. And what an advert for British boxing. Ben Whitaker, who is just crossing over and is just a superstar, and so delighted for him and where he's at already. So great advert, and then into a heavyweight title fight, as I said, that has just captured the imagination of the public and so much interest. So yeah, early start. Anyone that's coming to the arena needs to get there early. It really will start early, and then yeah, for anyone on TV, I think it's Sky Showcase at 6:00, and then Sky Sports main event from 7:00.
Absolutely, Bank Holiday Sunday. It's going to be explosive. Do you dread purse bid situations now when they come up? Do you dread them and think?
No, but I will be honest. That Fraser Clark one, because it's hard to get used to it. You know, there's so many misconceptions as to who I am or what our business is, and you're coming in and you know, you're under a lot of, there's a lot of scrutiny. So that first one, I think I was surprised at the amount of abuse, and like it was crazy. And again, like, I don't even know, you know, it was the right decision. We always want to make the best fights, we really do, and we have it, but we also know what we're doing, especially for our fighters, and we wanted to make this into a big event, and we wanted Fraser for us to make sure we felt it was the right time. And so, yeah, that one was a good experience, in the sense it's like you sometimes have to go through things to like really fucking, you know, you're in a big time. You need to get used to this sort of stuff. So not so much anymore. I laugh now because I laugh at how much I care, because I think sometimes in the boxing circles, you think that you're the centre of the universe, and then you step outside and you realise, fucking hell, a lot of people don't care. But yeah, I think now, from those moments, you sort of laugh at it, and you mature from it.
Did that situation from the Fraser Clark and Maudley one kind of subconsciously dictate how you handled the Azeem Dalton Smith situation, which is obviously still kind of ongoing?
I think they are different. I think obviously Dalton Smith only fought last week, so we couldn't really make a decision until you know what options are on the table. And obviously he has a team, the McGuigans as well, that have a strong opinion on what should happen and things like that. So I think they're different. But what I learned from the first one is we know what we're doing. We'll make the right decision for our fighter, and that's who I care about. You know, they've made huge decisions to go with a young promoter and back me and this and that, and I feel responsible. And so, if anything, I've learned that, you know, to trust yourself, trust what we're doing. We know what we're doing, and so it's a lot less of an issue for us now. I think, as I say, that first one I was surprised, but I think now we'll make the right decisions with our fighters, with our fighters' teams, put us the best options we can, and make sure we deliver.
Do you think, obviously, with the common denominator between both these situations is like kind of the relentless pressure from Eddie Hearn in regards to whatever fighter he's involved with at the time. But do you feel like that's like a kind of a tactic to force your hand into making a decision about it, when that may not be the best situation for Team Azeem, shall we say?
100%. 100%. I mean, sometimes they'll argue black is white and white is black, and the merry men will come out and they'll all be singing the same theme tune.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block, it's only a serve, it's only a tackle, a run, it's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Realize that's just the game, and I think, well, it's their game. And I think with Adam, he's a baby. He's 21 years old. I'd want to catch him as early as possible as well. I'd really want to catch him on it. And ultimately, I believe he beats Dalton Smith now. I've said it. I really do. But I believe he wipes the floor with most fighters, and Dalton in 3 or 4 fights as well. So if I can see why they're pushing. I do think it's slightly uncalled for in certain aspects, because I think you're bullying a 21-year-old kid if I have to look at it like that. But
bullying not a bit strong.
Pardon?
Bullying not a bit strong there. Obviously, he's, in terms of her, and obviously he's pushing his angle of Dalton Smith. So Adam Azeem, yeah, or whoever it could be, bullying not a little bit harsh?
Look, I don't. You know, I don't get into too much confrontation. I don't always say what I think, but on this occasion, I think, as I say, Adam Azim's a baby, and I'd want to catch him early. We presented the options, and we'll make the best decision. And just for the fans, we do want to make the best fights. We do. We've made Wardley Clark. We want to make Azeem Dalton Smith. We think it's going to be absolutely enormous. But we also do have a duty to the team and to our fighter to make sure that we prioritise their career and look after their career. And that might be making sure they get the most money for when a fight comes around like this one with Wardley Clark. And we will have to make the best decisions. And it's nothing to do with Matchroom or DAZN or anything like that. You know, Rhiannon Dixon got pulled out of a purse bid against Caroline Dubois. We understand why. Because Rhiannon's team won't have wanted that fight at that time. They probably will want the fight, and I'm sure it's going to happen probably towards the end of the year from understanding from their team. That's what happens with fighters' teams. And look, anyone in boxing knows that, or anyone with half a brain in boxing can see that. But we obviously do know how the game works and what's going on, and are a little bit more experienced and mature to be able to not let it bother us.
Isn't the question, though, about why you haven't, like, put the situation in whether he's going to vacate, you're pulling him out the bid, why you haven't done that yet, why that's dragged on for so long?
Well, first of all, he's the champion, so it's his prerogative. But second of all, Dalton Smith fought on Saturday. I think they made that fight after it had been ordered and then pushed the purse bid back. You can't... What? Adam vacates and then something happens in that fight and then what? And then what fight am I presenting Adam? They say, oh, well, Dalton's fighting then, so surely you can't present that fight until he's fought. That was a few days ago. And so, yeah, I just, again... Everyone knows that in boxing, and it wasn't going to happen before the fight, and we present options, and the decision will be made. But in terms of holding up anything, how can we be holding up? Dalton fought last Saturday.
When you present the options, which you've spoken about this week, to McGuigan's, etc., about his options, when the name of Dalton Smith is mentioned as one of those options, what is the feedback you're getting from Team Azeem? Is this... Because it looks like from the outside that this isn't going to happen next anyway.
Look, if I'm honest, and Frank mentioned it, I said to Frank Smith, I'm totally open. I think this fight can happen later in the year. I think it will happen later in the year. Do you want to negotiate it now? I've said that. They said, no, we want it next. And so I've said, okay, well, we will present the options to the team, you know, after Dalton fights. But I've said what I've said. I agree with you. But ultimately, it is an option. You know, it is an option, and ultimately...
Call it a realistic option, though.
100% is.
What, for his next fight, though?
It's if the other options that he has on the table don't earn him enough money and aren't as exciting enough to him as they should be, then of course it's an option. You know, and so that's the decision of the management team, and there's this misconception that... It's around broadcasters and promoters. If they were in this,
would it bother you if he went and Adam Azeem went and fought Dalton Smith on DAZN?
No, because this is what I think. There is a misconception. As a promoter, selfishly, I just want the biggest fights, the biggest gates. That's how everyone makes the most money. If we want to look at it purely like that, you know. And so, it's nothing to do with that. If they were in the same stable, Coogan, we'd be having the same conversations. You know, Adam, Dalton. This is the option right now. This is what it could look like. This is what this is. You'd be in the same conversations, and everyone's experienced enough to see that. I almost feel like I'm having to explain and justify things that everyone knows. And I think it's just an attempt to push and push and push.
When do you expect a decision to be made on Adam Azeem's next move?
We're getting very close, so next couple of days. I mean, I said 48 hours, you know, but we've got Wardley Clark now. With the night before, we're pretty focused on this. And so we're going to know in the next couple of days in terms of Adam Azeem's next fight, 100%. And I'm excited to get on with his career, and I'm excited to see him develop. He's one of the best prospects in the whole country. He's a phenomenal talent. He's a phenomenal athlete. And as I say, if I was any other fighter, I'd be looking at him and trying to catch him early. That's always been the focus. And next couple of days, but right now, obviously, Wardley Clark is the focus.
You've made some comments this week in respects to what you've described as a difficult working relationship with Matchroom. What do you do about that to kind of bridge that gap and to make the possibility of making fights between the stables and kind of that not to be a difficult situation to resolve?
I think it can happen over time. I think when you break into any industry, especially it doesn't matter what industry it is in, you're gonna have difficulties. But we do try and I think we've done the Tyler Denny Felix Cash purse spin, and hopefully that fight goes ahead. And there's plenty of other options. We'd love to make Rhiannon Dixon against Caroline Dubois as well. And I think hopefully their attitude changes. It was always going to be difficult. They left Sky Sports, and Sky were thinking, do we even consider taking on boxing? And I think there was an expectation that they won't. And it was almost like, we're going to go to the zone on the biggest deal, the biggest deal that's ever been seen in British boxing. Their budgets are enormous. And Sky Sports are left to pick up the pieces and work out what they're going to do with staff and this and that. And it all happened very sudden for them. And we've had to come into that environment and try and almost start up and save Sky Sports Boxing in the wake of a huge budget and huge money and huge and very experienced promoters with no stable. And I do think that every hurdle that we've had, we've managed to stay strong and build a great stable now and do fights and prove that we can put on and prove that Sky Sports Boxing can survive despite there being such big boxing channels and such big investment elsewhere. And I think, yeah, sometimes we were caught in that situation of that animosity. But I think over time, I really do think that over time then it can change. And obviously look at Frank and Eddie now, and that gives me hope. Obviously,
if Frank and Eddie can work, then you and Eddie could definitely work at some point.
Exactly, and there's obviously that's taken a lot of money, and I get that. But I think anything can happen, and I do believe it will happen. I'm very hopeful.
You've spoken to Eddie in the past, though, haven't you?
I've not actually.
You've never had a conversation with him?
No.
You must have seen him somewhere at a show or something.
I don't think so. I know Frank Smith. I've spoken to Frank Smith a few times, but I've never met him.
Again, Frank and Eddie didn't talk for, didn't really kind of have a conversation for years and years and years. So, yeah.
Look, as I say, we're hopeful. It's a small industry, and there's going to be plenty more occasions where the fighters want to fight, and we'd like to be able to make those fights. In due course, hopefully it happens.
Final one. Seen some rumours about potential trilogy fight between Eubank and Smith. Is there any truth in that?
I think you'd have to speak to Wasserman's team. I know, obviously, it would be a fight that Liam would want after it is 1-1. And we know he was injured last time. I think I'm actually due to sit down with Liam this week. He's had a bit of time off, so we'll see. But, I don't think anything concrete at the moment.
But in terms of Liam, obviously, would want to get out as quick as possible. Hasn't fought for a little while now, so other options for him?
Yeah, we're going to see him on Tuesday, I think. But a lot of people will be looking at Liam. He's going to have a lot of options. I think those two box office events have taken him from a top quality fighter to a star. And so he should have a lot of options, and there's a lot of big fights for him out there. And I just hope he gets them, because obviously he is coming towards the end of his career. I know it hurt him the last fight, because it wasn't him. That wasn't Liam Smith. That wasn't the Liam Smith anyone knows. So he doesn't want to go out like that. So I think there's some big fights ahead.
I'll definitely watch a trilogy fight between the two of them.
So would I. But I think it's one for Wasserman, Eubank. We'd love to do it. But I think it's one for them.
Ben Shalom, thank you very much for talking to IFL TV. Have you got anything else you'd like to add, Ben?
No, all good. Obviously looking forward to a huge show tomorrow.
Sunday night, live in Sky Sports, if you're not here at the O2. See you tomorrow. Sports Social Podcast Network.